And we've got Exodus chapter 14. We've been working our way through this chapter in a series of messages that we've called Stuck in the Middle of Life's Messes and Stresses. And we all can relate to that this morning, that what it is like to be stuck in the middle of messes and stresses. Messes, we said, are things that kind of we're actually going through. Stresses are those perceived things that we're probably going to be going through, or maybe people's reaction to what we're going through, or how are we going to make it through what we're going through. Maybe the hammer hasn't fallen yet, but we can kind of sense it's coming. I said years ago, I told my wife, I said, this situation we're in, I feel like it's a train wreck waiting to happen. How many have ever used that phrase before? It just, you can kind of see it coming, that if something doesn't change, it's not going to be good. And so that is the messes and stresses of life. That is what the Bible shows us was happening to Israel. When you look at the life of Israel, they had left Egypt, and God gloriously and victoriously brought them from the land of Egypt and brought them out. And obviously, when you're reading the scriptures, if you didn't know the story, you'd kind of think the story was over. Israel was in bondage. The plagues happen, this huge, amazing thing. Finally, Pharaoh humbles himself and lets the children of Israel go. And you think, wow, praise the Lord, they're good to go. Just a little while after they left, Pharaoh changed his heart and said, I'm going after the people of Israel. I'm going to get them. I'm going to not bring them back to be our slaves again. I'm going to destroy them for what they've done to us. And mainly his bitterness and anger came out from the death of his firstborn son and all the firstborn sons in Egypt on that day of Passover. But we've talked about how Israel left, and God, the Bible says in chapter 14 and verse number 2 there, the Lord spake unto Moses saying this in verse number 2, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp. And so basically the idea there is God kind of had them going one direction, and Moses was kind of leading them out of problems and out of trouble and was kind of taking his time, and 3 million people leaving and all their stuff and all their kids and all those things. Just imagine traveling with 3 million people. I can't travel with 5 people without stopping 7 times in 4 hours. Everybody's got to go to the bathroom. Everybody needs snacks. Everybody needs drinks. Everybody's... You know, all of a sudden we got to stretch. Well, that's just me that all happens to. Then you got to factor in the children. But it is. You just get that? You got that, Miss Elsie? Ah, pastor, weak bladder. Yes, I have a weak bladder. But when you see the children of Israel, they're kind of just going along, trying to get 3 million people through what the Bible says is a wilderness, a desert place. And the Bible says that God turns them on purpose, turns them to where he says, this is where I want you. And I would say it would be very easy to say in this room today that we've all had times in our life where things have turned. It's been going pretty good. I mean, it's never easy. I mean, we got our family, we got bills, and we got payments, and we got cars, and we got houses, and we got jobs, and it's never easy, but we're kind of making it through the wilderness. We're kind of getting along, and then all of a sudden, God turns the life. He turns our situation, and he encamps us in the middle of a mess and a stress. He encamps us in a place that we would not have chosen for ourselves. For Israel, is between Etham and Migdal, two Egyptian stronghold cities that were at the mouth of the Red Sea. So God turned them right between these two cities, with Red Sea in front of them and the Pharaoh bearing down upon them, Pharaoh and his armies bearing down upon them from behind. So that is kind of where we picked up the series, how God turns our lives into messes and stresses. And we said, number one, we've got to trust God's providence. We said principle number one is this: I am where I am because it's a part of his plan. We said, number two, it is being able to take that mess and stress and gain God's perspective on it by saying this: Lord, help me to see this isn't about me. I know it involves me. I know it's my life. I know it's my situation. I know it's my mess. I know it's my stress. But Lord, help me to see it's not about me. The perspective is it's about you. It's about your honor. It's about your glory. It's about trusting you. It's about faith. It's about getting through this thing with you and coming out better for it. We said number three principle was we got to keep the right priorities in the messes and stresses of life. We said that I'm aware Satan's there, but I'm safe in God's care. Isn't that a wonderful idea? I mean, the Bible shows us that Satan and Pharaoh was after them, and he's there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The pillar of cloud that was guiding them is now behind them. And it is a pillar of fire on their side, and it is a pillar of darkness on the other side. And so they are aware Satan's there, but there was no safer place for Israel to be at that moment than between Etham and Migdal, before the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh behind them. Isn't that hard to say sometimes? That the safest place for me is in a mess and a stress? Because Satan is there. Satan is trying to discourage you. Satan is trying to defeat you. Satan would love for you to get out of church. Satan would love for you to leave your spouse. Satan would love for you to blow up at the boss. Satan would love for you to mess up your finances and not honor God with your finances. Satan would love to split our church apart. Satan would love these things. But listen, I'm aware Satan's there. But the safest place I can be is in God's care. We said number four, our prayer life has to change during these messes and stresses. We said this, God may have led me this way to get me to pray in a new way. And for the very first time in verse number 10 of chapter 14, for the very first time, Israel cries unto the Lord. They had complained. They had cried to Moses. Moses had cried to God. They had complained to Pharaoh. All of these things happened in the life of Israel, but for the very first time as a nation, as a people, in this mess and the stress they were under, the Bible says they cried unto the Lord. Listen, I believe with all my heart that God leads us into trials and tribulations sometimes and turns our life into certain situations so that we will pray in a new way, that we will seek God's face diligently. And the Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that seek Him diligently. You say, well, it hasn't changed yet. My situation's still the same. But listen, keep on praying. This is a situation that God has turned into your life. This is a mess that God has put you in the middle of. And your job is to trust His providence. Your job is to gain His perspective. Your job is to keep the priority on Him and keeping your eyes on Him during this trial. And then pray. With all your might, pray. I've had people say to me and in different situations that sometimes they don't feel like God is listening. And I would say this to you, and I've said this to myself. I've said, I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. I don't know what I'm doing here. And the Bible says that my prayers are taken to God by the Holy Spirit of God anyways. And I can tell you this by the authority of God's Word, the Holy Spirit of God accomplishes His will every single time. And so our job is just to kneel. Our job is just to get in our closet and pray. Our job is just to get beside the bed and cry out to God. Our job is to trust Him and pray in a new way. We said principle number five, we've got to have patience. Just stand still. Let God work out His will. We've got a lot of people running around just trying to finagle it, trying to manipulate it, trying to get through it, trying to get around it, trying to get under it, trying to get over it. And God shows us here, Moses looks to them and says, stand still. In this mess that you're in, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he says this, he adds this at the end, hold your peace. That's a great lesson for all of us. Not everybody in the universe needs to know how bad your mess is. I am for counseling. I am for calling the right people. I am for getting in that group of people that can encourage your heart. I am so for those things. I am so against your business being out on Facebook. Not everybody in the Twitter universe needs to figure out how bad your life is right now. Snapchat doesn't need your 6-second update every 12 minutes of how bad it's getting. We've got to slow down, stand still in this situation. If you say you trust God, if you say that you believe what God says, you've got to stand still in that situation. Let God work out His will. Hold your peace. You don't have to talk to everybody about that. Talk to God about it. Bring it to God. Bring it to those counselors in your life that will bring you encouragement, that will pray alongside of you and encourage your heart. We have to work on our patience during the messes and stresses of life. We said there's also a pattern that we must follow every time we're in a mess and stress. I've looked at people straight in the eye and said, what is stressing going to do about it, man? It's going to make you old is what it's going to make you. It's going to make you crazy in your head. It's going to break your heart. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Stop wringing your hands and fold your hands and pray out to God. And we said the pattern that God has for each and every one of us in the messes and stresses of life, every single time you're in a mess, there's still things that God says, move forward. He said to the children of Israel, move forward. This, I got this situation. I've got your mess. Your job is to keep moving forward. Your job is to read your Bible every day. Your job is to pray. Your job is to praise God and worship Him. Your job is to exhort one another. Your job is to carry your cross every single day. Your job is to die daily and not let everything affect you. That's the pattern you must follow in every trial and tribulation of life. And then we said lastly, last week, we must sense God's presence. We must relish and sense God's presence, fall in love with God in a new way. We said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to, as long as it allows me to draw closer to you. And what was guiding them now became their protection. What was the thing that was out in front of them that they were following was now behind them and protecting them, was their guard. When they came from their guide to their guard, they changed. They realized that God loved them, that God was concerned about their safety, that God was concerned about their life, that God was concerned about their purpose, that God wasn't going to just let anybody just take them out. And they sense God's presence. I don't know about you, but I like organized systems. I like patterns. I like the fact that when I walk in the auditorium, all the lights are in a row. These guys were trying to convince me. We were putting the lights in the auditorium. They said, they need to be scattered and then this and this. And they're making all these patterns. And none of the patterns even look right. And me and Bob looked at each other and said, man, we got to have them in a row, man. I live on this property and I'm in here every day. I'll be twitching when I walk in the auditorium, man. If something's not in a pattern of some sort. But I like organized systems. I like when things just fall into place, don't you? That is not true about the messes and stresses of life. Sometimes it doesn't just fall into place. Sometimes it goes differently than we thought it was going to go. Sometimes God answers in a way we thought it was going to be answered in a certain way, and God chooses a different way. Organization, I saw this illustration about the Model T. Henry Ford, who invented the Model T, was for people's diversity, and he came out with a quote. He said, you can have any color Model T that you want so long as it's black. And he was a very organized, methodical man. There's just something about custom made. I like organization. I like patterns. I like when things are in a system and I can trust the system. And listen, any endeavor in life and any home that you have or any business has to have rules and structure. But there's just something about something being custom made. If you were to go on the internet today and type in the words custom made, you would find a website that you can get custom made cars. That'd be nice. You can get leather all over the place. You can get a leather heated steering wheel. You can have 5 cup holders if you want in your front seat. You can have tables in the back seat for people in the back seat, trays to fold down, DVD players in the back of the headrest. You can have decals on the side of the vehicle. You can tint the windows or not tint the window. You can have a custom-made car. I saw a website had custom-made animals. You say, I want a cat that looks like a leopard. And they will breed a cat that looks like a leopard and acts like a cat. I thought, this world is coming to an end, man. What in the world? Custom-made furniture. Custom-made jewelry. I saw a ring last night. I was going back through and I said, man, what kind of custom-made jewelry can you have? I looked up one site. You can have a $750,000 diamond ring made, custom made for you. Rachel, we're not getting that. I bought you one 17 years ago. We're good to go. Custom made jewelry, custom made businesses. There's businesses that exist to custom make trips and custom make planes and custom make packages for you to enjoy your life better and have pilots and have chauffeurs and have vehicles and custom make your home and all of these things that are custom made. I think there's something about custom made. But the world didn't come up with custom made. God did. God came up with custom made. When I look at the uniqueness of this world around us, I go back to Exodus chapter 14. I want you to look at verse number 21 with me today. We just come through the pillar of protection, the pillar of guard that Israel has in 19 and verse number 19 and verse number 20. And then when we get to verse number 21, the Bible says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." You talk about custom made. How is God going to get these people? Now, we know the Bible, and we've read the Bible, we read ahead, and we teach these stories all our life. But stop for a second and act like you're a five-year-old kid. And you don't know any of the Bible. You're just kind of hearing the stories of God's Word for the very first time. Imagine hearing that God took a sea of 600 feet of water, and by a man standing on the edge and sticks up a staff in the air, that God sends a great wind and makes the entire sea stand up with walls. All the water coming this way stands up on a wall. All the water going that way, a strong east wind takes over and it raises walls on their right and on their left. And the greatest thing of all is 3 million people get down in the bed of that sea. They walk down that side of that shore and they begin descending into a sea, the Bible says, that is on dry ground. Dried out by God. And they walk through on dry ground to the other side. They didn't lose anybody. They didn't have anybody drowned. They didn't have any of their wagons get stuck in the dirt, in the mud. Here's the phrase I want you to get, and here's what I want you to remember about your messes and stresses. Whatever escape route God may choose, I know that I cannot lose. Whatever escape route that God may choose. Now, I'm going to tell you, it might not be the escape route you thought. God, we don't have any desks. Would you send a millionaire our way and give us $20,000? Would you please help him write the check? And man, I had it scripted a couple weeks ago. I tell you what. One of you have hidden wealth and you are going to step up and say, "Pastor, I have hidden wealth you know nothing about. And here is your check for those desks. Go get them made, brother. Custom made." That's what was supposed to happen. I was not supposed to be in an old turkey barn. Digging. There wasn't even a cement floor up in that place. We had to roll them things through the mud to get them on that truck. I'm so thankful we had Ryan Moffa with us. He's picking them up two at a time. You know, just throwing them into the U-Haul. Wasn't he, man? This guy is, he's a beast. He went with us. I'm thinking, praise the Lord, he's here. I'm over there gagging because they got the old turkey poo is in the barn. I mean, they didn't bother clearing all that out. And Pastor has a very sensitive gag reflex. Actually, I have a very keen sense of smell that causes a very sensitive gag reflex. And so I took one breath and I was like, whoo. And the guys are like, "You good?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah." just taking some deep breaths, man. And as I was taking, when you don't want to throw up, you're supposed to take deep breaths. But if there's stuff around you shouldn't smell, you shouldn't be taking deep breaths. That didn't compute very well. And I took one big deep breath and I jumped off that truck and went around the side. And there was my biscuits. There was scrambled eggs. I realized I had forgotten I'd eaten a banana. And I ate a banana. I think I had one or two Doritos from the day before in there. Aren't you glad I just described my throw up to you? Brother Dave was there. He's a witness. There was a bunch of scrambled. I can't believe how many scrambled eggs I ate that morning. What is wrong with me? That was not how my mess was supposed to end. But I'll tell you this much. If God's miracle was a $20,000 check, how did that make phone calls and furniture that hadn't been made? I don't disagree with that. I wouldn't mind that if they were brand new and custom made and those kinds of things. But God custom made an escape route for us that you cannot lose when you're standing there watching God do a miracle. You know you had nothing to do with it. You know you couldn't have done it on your own. It would have had to be in a millionaire or a miracle of God. And God said, I don't need the millionaire. I've got a miracle. And listen, you might look at your situation and say, it's going to take more than a millionaire. It's going to take more than counseling. It's going to take a movement of God to get into my situation and straighten out this mess. And I can tell you by the authority of God's word this morning, God opened up a sea for the people of Israel. God was able to take the people of Israel over on dry ground. They escaped the armies of Pharaoh on dry ground through 600 feet of water on dry ground on the other side. Listen, whatever God chooses to get you.